report comes from the market, wrapping up another fantastic season with a thank you to everyone who set up a booth, played music, came and shopped, or just stopped to visit. Looking forward to hosting another season of handmade items, local art, music, and more next year. Thank you, Petersburg.
So we're out here on the gorgeous view on the Wrangell Narrows with Andy and Stacy Kittum. It's here on in the garden, and it's a beautiful day, and I hope that it's a nice day here when we're you're hearing this. So they've got a great landscaped yard and driveway, and right up on the water. Stacy's got a lot of Impedium rhododendrons. Some what type of trees are we looking at that are the Japanese?
Dwarf Japanese maple.
And that's the same one over there. Is another grape?
Yes.
Okay, and I was really surprised you've got a blooming hellebore.
Oh, you know what? The hellebores will sometimes bloom year-round for me. So it's kind of surprising when you do see them. But those are such a great plant because they will be blooming in January when there's snow on the ground. And they really hold their blooms for a long time. I mean, they will hold their blooms for months.
And they'll live through the winter here without any help or that.
And the deer leave them alone for the most part. Yeah.
So that's kind of the frontage of the yard. And then it's almost overwhelming. Andy's got himself an orchard here. It's really, how many trees do you think you have, Andy, altogether?
Probably 30.
30. And they're all fairly large in that. And we'll just kind of walk around and talk about it. The first tree that he's just enthusing about is the hawthorn. And go ahead and say what type it is, or just a red?
It's called a Paul Scarlet.
Oh, okay.
And it's
okay.
Solid red flowers. And then we have, I forget the name, that's a different kind of hawthorn.
Okay.
And it's got pink with red centers flowers.
Yeah, Paul's hawthorn, that's what we brought up too, I think.
And it's done the best for us.
It's done the best.
And it blooms end of June, first part of July.
And this tree is, 14 feet high. And that, and how long do you think you've had it?
It's probably 8 years now. But I prune it too. I prune everything.
Yeah. Well, and that's why it has such, everything here has a really nice shape to it. You haven't just let them go wild, so it's really a nice atmosphere. Okay, I'm gonna stop, maybe. Okay, so these first trees are these look pretty common. What are these? Are apples?
Yep, they're a crab apple.
Oh, okay.
That one's a Wixen, and this one is a chestnut crab. So the difference between a crab apple and an apple, they're both apples. Crab apple is defined by any apple tree that has a fruit smaller than 2 inches. That doesn't mean they're the same species. They're just different varieties that produce a smaller fruit. They pollinate each other. They just have a small fruit. And generally, a crab apple is known for being tart fruit, but that's not entirely true. I probably have 8 crab apples on the property here, and they're all sweet crab apples.
Okay.
So they're good to eat. So
that Pacific, you said you had Pacific crab apples.
They
Pacific.
Run wild just here on the beach down here.
Oh, okay. And then I see you've got a little friend here, the woolly caterpillar.
Yep.
Yep. And but I don't see too much real damage to the trees from those.
No, it's been actually pretty light, but there has been years in the past where we've had hundreds of them.
Yeah.
And I haven't found a way to kill them other than just manually going through with a pair of gloves and pulling them off and sending them on their way.
And it looks like this tree has been grafted or not?
Yeah. Pretty much every fruit tree you're going to get has been grafted. And that's for several reasons. There's two parts to a tree. There's a rootstock and the scion wood. The rootstock determines the tree's height, its propensity to whether it survives in cold environments, warm environments, and what kind of soil conditions it'll tolerate. So, like, if you buy a tree from a nursery in California, it's going to have a different rootstock than the same tree with the same scion wood grafted to a different rootstock, like from the Pacific Northwest. So, all trees are not the same, and there's probably 7 I've read 7,000 varieties of scion wood, of apples in the world, and there's probably 50 different kinds of rootstock. So you multiply those two together, there's tens of thousands of combinations of trees that can all be different. So each tree, a tree is not a tree. They all have different characteristics. So like what I have here, most of the property is, it's called Bud 118 rootstock, which means it's called Badovsky. It's a Russian research station. And they're known for having, cold tolerant rootstocks. So that's what we need around here. And the other thing is it's tolerant to wetness. Because a lot of these trees, if you look, they're all raised beds. Apple trees are known for getting root rot. So if you keep them elevated, the soil is more apt to drain out and not drown the tree.
And why the fabric covering on all your trees? All the trees are surrounded probably by a 5-foot diameter circle or square covered with fabric cloth.
Just to keep the weeds down for the most part. Things grow so fast around here that we tried planting strawberries and all these when we first started, and it just turned into a giant weed pit. Yeah. So it's just to try and keep the amount of labor down.
And they don't really interfere with the water getting to the roots?
No, in fact, you know, they're semi-permeable to water, but we get so much water around here that...
That's not the problem.
I think it's good that it actually drains some of the water off the tree.
That's what I always said to people planting trees is a foot and a half from the surrounding area. What kills most trees here when you're transplanting them from somewhere else is drowning.
Yeah.
And that, and the trees, the roots need to get some air, and that they need some moisture, of course, but not to drown in that.
Right.
So this is a real common species that's been grown here in Petersburg. This is a...
It's a yellow transparent. And they're, yeah, you're right. There's quite a few of them in Petersburg and around this part of the world because they're easy to grow. There's, along with different varieties of apples, apples are also segregated by when they bloom and when they ripen. So in Southeast Alaska, our summers are relatively short but strong. We get a lot of sunlight when the sun does come out. But you want a tree, an early apple tree, that produces fruit early. You don't want them producing fruit in October, November, because we start getting freezes and it goes bad. The problem with early apples is that generally the quality of the fruit is poor. And the yellow transparent is well known for that. They produce a fruit, but it's generally soft and mushy, other than the 3 or 4 days that it's perfectly ripe when you can eat it. So you can get a lot of fruit off of yellow transparent, but generally speaking, it's not the best eating, fresh eating. It makes great applesauce and pies, but...
And that's the thing, it doesn't hold.
Right.
You've got to pick it right when you want, when it's the best. And
like today's September 14th, and this one's already soft.
Uh-huh.
So. This one is Liberty. He hasn't produced any fruit yet. He's only a couple years old. But he's another early apple tree, but he produces a firmer, more superior fruit.
And when I was ordering trees, either from Behringer, which is, or Lovejoy, most of their stock was called Mazard.
Right. That's one of the three major rootstocks. There's Badovsky, Mazard, and Geneva.
Okay.
Those are the three main. And then you have a standard rootstock, which is the original tree, which is called Antonikova. And that produces a tree that, you know, that people think of in storybooks, you know, 30 feet tall, 30 feet wide, and full of apples. And that used to be the tree 30 years ago, 70 years ago, but the growers didn't like it because they're so big. You know, trying to get a crew up there to harvest them is hard. And B, they're not as productive. It takes quite a few years for them to start producing fruit. Whereas these new rootstocks that they produce now for the last 20 years, they produce fruit at a very young age, and they produce a lot of fruit for the size of the tree. So it's great for commercial growers. So if you go to an apple farm in Western Washington or Eastern Washington, you're not going to see 30-foot tall trees. You're going to see trees more similar to this.
So I had to counsel people that the first year or two that they had their apple trees, I'd give it to them. They already had apples on it. And it was like, you're going to have to pick off some of these apples or you're going to break the branches.
Yeah. And a tree only has so much energy, especially one that's been transplanted. If they want to spend that energy on growing fruit, that's their natural, you know, movement is to produce fruit and grow and prosper. But if you take that fruit off, that energy that they would have put into a small fruit to make it big will go into the root system. And that's where you want your energy to be spent on a young tree,
yeah,
is getting the roots.
Getting established so it survives the winter.
Yep.
So this is the picture perfect tree here. It's got beautiful red fruit on it and lots of it. And what are we looking at here, Andy?
This is called a Nakane, and it's a Japanese variety. And this is one of my favorite trees. If you're going to grow a tree in Petersburg, this is one of the handful I would grow. They produce a lot of fruit. It's a quality fruit, and the tree just has prospered. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. This is the best part about the gardening.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's generally a sweet fruit, and it's firm.
Yeah.
And it lasts on the tree for quite a while.
And it's pretty.
Yeah.
I mean, this is it's a totally red, nicely shaped apple.
And that's another funny thing about Petersburg, and maybe it's everywhere, but this year my crop of fruit overall was small. Don't ask me why, but this apple tree has produced apples that are probably 50 to 100% bigger than this. But for some reason this year they're small.
So in the spring when all these are blooming, which must be quite a sight, how many bees do you have? Is that what's pollinating here?
Not very many. That's one of the biggest problems in Petersburg, is pollination. When the cherry trees, plum trees, apple trees are flowering, generally speaking, the bumblebees aren't out yet. So most of these trees are getting pollinated by insects.
Okay.
What happened this year for a lot of us in Petersburg was when the flowers came out, it rained for 2 weeks, hard. And the bugs just don't come out when it's raining like that. And the pollination was really suffered. So that's one of the big things in Petersburg, is trying to get pollination.
Okay, we're on. This is the crab apple. What's the name?
It's a Trailman crab apple.
Oh, okay.
And like I said, it's a crab apple, but it's not tart. And it's been really good. It produces lots of fruit. They're about the size of a chicken's egg. And they're really sweet. They're really firm, and they got a lot of juice in them. They're almost like eating a peach, almost.
Huh.
And so people, you know, they kind of frown and roll their eyes at, a crab apple, but here, try this one.
Yeah.
This is really good.
Mmm. Wow. And it's a softer fruit, but firm. And, really, a really good taste to it.
So we've had good luck with this. If I was another, this is probably the mate that I would plant to the Yakane, is a Trailman.
Huh. And I see you're not into sharing whatsoever. You've got at least 6-foot fences. Is electricity on here?
I'm pretty sure I turned it off. Do you want to try?
No, I'm not going to try. But
so that's one thing I've said repeatedly to people is, if you're going to spend $100 on a tree, you better be willing to spend $100 on soil to grow it in. But more importantly, is a fence, because between the deer, the porcupines, and the bears in Petersburg, it's going to happen. It's that one of those critters is going to get your investment and all the time and years you spend growing it, and it's going to just disappear. So it takes time and energy and some money to put up a small fence. But all my fences are electrified, or I have a wire going around each one. But, you know, people have the misconception that, A, they're dangerous. They're not dangerous. They're meant just to scare cattle away, you know, keep them out there. But they're cheap. I probably have $100 wrapped into this electric fence. And $100 when you're buying a $100 tree. And it's not one fence per tree. I have a $100 fence that protects dozens of trees.
And now the electrical wire is only on the 6-foot top of the fence. So you're keeping it away from the kids. And you're stopping the deer, which we've all seen, from climbing up on the fence and trying to get over the fence and eat your apples. So.
And the big one is the porcupines.
The big one is porcupines.
We watch porcupines. They crawl right up the salmon web mesh and grab that line, and that's the end of that. They turn around and go the other way. But the porcupines, we've had them crawling these things, and in 15 minutes, they'll completely destroy an apple tree, completely to the bottom, nothing left.
They like to climb out to the furthest tips of the branches where all the new growth is, and then they're too heavy that it'll break that entire branch.
And then what about their bigger brethren? Have you had any trouble with bears?
Out here, we rarely see a bear. A brown bear was out here 2 years ago, and the neighbor took care of that. But bears are really known for, you know, they love apples and fruits and garbage and everything else. But their noses are so sensitive that if they ever put their nose on that fence, they're probably not going to come back.
Okay, moving on. We've got another common species here that does pretty well, and that's the, go ahead.
It's called a Zestar.
Uh-huh.
And I actually have two of these, and neither of them have produced much fruit. And I don't know why, but it's an early apple. The ratings on the, you know, you read things on the internet that it's a great fruit, but I just personally haven't had much luck. That's not to say that next year it won't produce, but, and that's why another reason why we have so many is that not every tree produces every year. Some are biennial, and some, like this one here, he just refuses to produce. He'll produce flowers, so it could be a pollination thing, too. Probably okay. Is.
And then the next one that is loaded up again, and this one the deer might be able to get to.
Yeah.
Is because it's such a healthy tree and growing out of its cage is rosy glow, which is another common species here.
And it's a good eating apple too. I'll get you one of these.
Wow,
I'd recommend this tree too. It's done well for me. It's got some disease right now, but it's a good. It produces fruit on steadily. And then this one here is another crab apple, and it's called a Dolgo, and it's a fairly common crab apple. But it produces a lot of fruit, and they're pretty tart, but you can definitely eat them. It gives you a little zing in your mouth. It's got a lot of malic acid in it. But people pickle them, do all kinds of things with them. But
Who has the Islander Klernvik?
Kurt Kernvik
pestered me for years to get him a Dolgo apple, but I wasn't able to find one to bring up here.
Oh.
Where did you get this one?
You know, actually, we sold some longline fish up in Juneau a couple years ago, and we went up to Home Depot to get all the supplies for the house. We were building the house at the time, and they had this sitting out front.
Huh? Wow.
So it's not an optimum rootstock for this environment, but you can see it's flourished.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, there's...
Well, he had one in his yard, and he really wanted another one, but I wasn't able to. I can see why. It's really a pretty tree, and it's loaded with fruit again, too.
All right.
So we're talking about pollinating, and Stacy's really got a lot of nice borders of Nepeta. Is the right native way to say that? And it's a flower that does well here and blooms for a long time in the summertime. And attracts bees, which we all need in our gardens. Okay, so now we're off into the another fenced area with the plum trees. We've got raspberries, blueberries,
cherries,
and potatoes. And Andy was telling me how he takes care of that the trees don't take a lot of care, but what's your regime for taking care of the trees?
They say you want to. My information is you want to prune before they start budding out in the spring.
In the spring.
Which around here is usually before herring fishing. So like the first part of March is generally when I prune. And when you prune, you want to take off any dead wood, any crossing branches, any branches that are facing inward. Just anything that, and you want to open up the canopy of the tree. You don't want a really compressed canopy of just intertwined stuff. So if you look at these trees,
yeah. They're
pretty open to let sun in there. And to let the wind flow through it, because what'll happen is it's a lot of diseases, and that's one of the biggest things we have here is fungal diseases. And the way you want to take care of those is in this. I've had a lot of people call me and say, "Hey, my tree's all sick. What do I do?" I say, "Well, it's July. It's too late. You want to start spraying your trees as soon as they bud out and start getting some greenery. And there's different sprays you can use. There's Immunox, Mycozeb, Captain." several different kinds of sprays, and it sounds like a lot, but it's really pretty easy. I can spray my whole orchard in a couple hours.
So these are, what are you trying to prevent? Is it just fungus or?
Antifungal, you know, it's like apple rot, leaf spot. There's a whole pile of different funguses, and they're pretty prevalent here. And when you have a canopy on a tree that's really confined, that's where fungal diseases grow. And another big trick, as much as spraying, is in this wintertime, after all the fruit's gone, and, you know, it's wintertime, the tree's dormant. Go through, if there's any leaves that are left on the tree, knock them off. If there's any fruit that's left on the tree, knock them off, because those fungal diseases live on that fruit, that dead fruit. And if it's there in the spring, it'll reinfect your tree. So try and, it's just a kind of a cleanliness thing. Try and clean up your area, and you'll have a lot less problems with fungal diseases.
So they always say that the organic gardener's best friend is winter.
Yes.
That hopefully you get to be able to knock back all those kind of pests and funguses and get a fresh start each year. And like you said, cleaning up the plant. So what are you doing for fertilizing?
As cheap and easy as possible. They make specialized fertilizers for fruit trees. But if you can go out and get seaweed, it's as good as gold. And what we've done countless times, and the family doesn't like doing it, is we'll take my jet skiff, put a tarp in it, go at low tide, and as the tide comes in, just keep filling that skiff up with kelp, seaweed I should say, and take the skiff full of, you know, 2,000 pounds of seaweed in there and drive it up on the trailer and drive it right back to the house.
So are you doing that in the spring or the fall?
Spring.
Both.
I usually do it in the spring.
Yeah. Yeah, if you do it in the fall, it's going to wash out a lot with all the rain.
Yeah.
And so you're going to get a little bit more. We used to use seaweed just in the fall, just as kind of a covering for mulch. Gives the plants a little bit of a protection. But
yeah, a little insulation.
It's all a little bit of effort. Goes a long ways. And So what are we looking here in types of trees?
These big trees here are cherry trees, Lapin, Early Berlat, Kirsten, and I forget the name of that guy over there. But they're all an early cherry, too. Cherries, if people are interested in growing them, I would be a little hesitant around here. Places like Tenneke Warm Springs, they grow, cherry trees grow like crazy in that microclimate. But these are hard to grow here. They're susceptible to diseases, and when they do fruit, these trees here had a couple thousand cherries on them, and when they were just about ripe, it rained for about 2 weeks this summer, and everyone cracked. Which you're still, you can eat a cracked cherry, but it's just not as pretty, you know, so.
And birds? You have trouble?
No, we don't have birds, but I know I have a friend out lives out on north of town, and he has up to 20 blue jays at a time at his house.
Right.
They just eat everything he's got.
Yeah.
For some reason, we don't have blue jays, but we do have porcupines and lots of deer.
Might have to do with, we get a lot of ravens and eagles here.
Yeah, but so that's not quite, they're not so interested in the cherries. Okay, we're on Anacoba,
Duchess of Oldenburg.
Okay.
And this is a variety that came out in Europe in like the 1700s. It's an old variety, and it's on an Anacoba rootstock, which is called a standard. So if I leave him alone and let him grow, he'll get 30 feet tall and 30 feet wide.
Wow.
And the theory is we've got this big pine tree here. One of these days it's going to fall over, and I want a big tree to replace it.
And this is a crab apple?
Nope.
No, this is
a regular apple.
Standard apple. Okay.
Yep. And then the next one's, this is a crab apple, too. It's going to be a sweet crab apple when it grows or when it starts fruiting. These are all early varieties that I just found and came up with on the Internet.
And so then you ship them up. Of course, you've got a connection for shipping.
Yeah, I get them through my wife or through the Internet. But this one, Williams Pride, he's the standard. If you got to have one, well, you should have two trees to pollinate.
Right.
But Williams Pride is the best all around. They're disease resistant. They're prolific. They do just about it. There's fruit isn't the sweetest. It's not the big, you know what I mean? But all around, if you're going to have three apple trees, this should definitely be one of them.
Okay.
So,
and these ones, now you don't have, you do have electric wire. You're putting electric wire on.
Yeah, I haven't quite got that far yet.
Yeah. So we got an Amalta, Amata, and an Oreo. So now you said you've been doing some grafting too?
Yeah, over on the far end of the orchard over there.
Oh, okay. We'll kind of walk down there.
This is an early Geneva. And this tree had 400 or 500 apples on it a month ago when they was ripe. And there might be a couple still up there. But that's the other thing about having several different varieties of apples is, A, they can pollinate each other, but they're not going to produce fruit at the same time. So when this tree's done, he's done, but I've still got another tree up the hill that's producing fruit, and 2 weeks from now, there'll be more trees that are ripe.
And then how do you keep or process fruit, or is it more a hobby in terms of getting the trees to grow?
For me, it's like I like getting to grow, and I eat a few fresh apples, but we give all kinds of them away.
Yeah.
And if you want to come out, just come on out and take a bucket. But this is another classic. This is a centennial crab apple.
Wow.
And you look at this. This is a crab apple.
Yeah.
It's known for not, it won't be very a tall tree. It'll only get 6-7 feet tall at its biggest. But it produces a fruit the size of a chicken egg, and it's sweet.
And there's 30 apples on this 6-foot tree here. Yeah. So, since you've got so much room and that you haven't done any trees that grow alongside a fence or a wall.
No.
No, flat. Okay.
Yep. And then as we're getting close to the end here, this is a, what's the name of it? Honeycrisp. It's probably the most popular commercial apple now. They're sweet. You know, buy them at the store. They're big. They're sweet. They're pretty. They're round. But it's a mid to late season apple. It's one of the few that I have. But it produces fruit. The problem is, if you look up here, you see they're still green?
Yeah.
I've had a couple years where we've had the winters held off, and I've got them to ripen. But most years, those fruit never ripen. And it's because it's a mid to late season apple. If winter would hold off till December, I'd probably get some good eating fruit off of it. So that's why you want to get apples that are made to grow in your environment.
And here we have another Whitney crab.
Mm-hmm. And this Lutz Queen, we've had this tree for probably 8 years. It's never produced a fruit. This year, wow.
It was
must have had 200 fruits on it, and the kids came through and picked most of them.
Yeah, that was my favorite tree this year. I think we got everything we could reach. Everything that's left on there was kind of too hard to reach, but I thought the apples on that were really good.
Okay, well, we're going to be bringing some of this apples to the market next year and sharing with the community. And we're just about out of time here, and I really want to thank Andy Kittens and Stacy for sharing their orchard and their yard and that. And happy gardening to all you people.
Thanks, Greg.
Uh-huh.
Support for this program comes from Petersburg Flower Farm, with delivery of fresh bouquets available. Open noon to 5, Friday through Sunday at 6 Rory's Road. More information at 907-518-4363 or Petersburg Flower Farm on Facebook.